The Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Royal Oak, Michigan. Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, Matt, and Angela.
Live episode number 106.
Took him a second.
106 of the Better on Draft podcast. I believe so.
I think it's 106.
Wait, no.
It was 107. Yeah, 107.
It's 107.
107. That's it's my birthday backwards. Not 10-7, 7-10.
Nice.
There we go. Episode 107. Once we get to episode 710, though, I'll probably be old and probably still have the same haircut.
Yeah,
maybe probably. a few less hairs. But my name is Ken. We are here live in the studio. Appreciate you all joining us. Rob, how you doing?
I am doing all right, making it through the week. I guess for any listeners who actually care, fantasy football update, I'm 9-0. Thank you very much.
Oh my god.
Should I give my update too?
If only I had Juju.
If only you had Juju Smith-Schuster, and if only Golden Tate didn't get ankle grabbed at the 3-yard line.
He loves taking the knee early.
Right. Just
early and often.
He's that dedicated to the cause.
Just as my Steelers should have lost against the Lions, I should have lost that game because you got robbed.
It's all good. What are you drinking over there?
I'm getting ready to crack open a Mikeller vanilla maple shake.
Sounds like way too much.
It's something I thought I would give a try. I stopped in at Steve's over in Hamtramck, and
Hamtime?
Yes, he is definitely building the collection up in there. It almost looks like it's just getting to the point where there's so much beer that's coming out that he may. And I kind of jokingly said that you may have to take out an aisle to get some more beer in here, because it's kind of crazy. But the Upland Brewing just hit town.
Terrapins are coming too, huh?
So that's what he said too. I was not even aware of that, but apparently yeah, Terrapins coming too. But
yeah, but everyone's gonna get pissed off because that's not craft beer.
Well, so apparently, you know, obviously not. Founders is not either, but you know, everybody's gonna be.
It's
trying
true,
to get...
but Terrapins owned by, and I think that's Tenth and Blake.
So
be a Miller House, huh?
It would be a Miller House. It's interesting because I'm in a group online, and every time somebody posts something that's not craft beer, the person who runs it just goes off on a tirade. So somebody, obviously, if you guys are familiar, Budweiser did the Anheuser-Busch or Budweiser Amber Reserve. So a lot of people are like, oh, let's check it out. Let's see what it's like. So this guy did this huge write-up, talked about what he thought of it, what it was like, comparable, etc. But he didn't mention that it was made by ABI, Anheuser-Busch InBev. So this guy goes off on this like three-paragraph tirade, like he's a Budweiser sympathizer, because he didn't mention the true brewer of who owns Anheuser-Busch. And I'm like, you're really... And that's the thing, though, is that every time you mention in this group, which is, it's called Honest Craft Brew Reviews or something like that.
Yeah.
If you're in that group, it like he just goes off on a tirade. I'm like, give it a rest. Like everyone knows who makes Budweiser.
Right.
It's not. We're not even talking like those fake craft beers or the crafty beers.
Yeah.
Like Wicked Weed or Elysian, where people are like, oh, that's not craft beer. But I'm like, yeah. It just annoys me. Matt, what'd you just break open over there?
I know. I thought you were going to share that.
Oh, that's a face that I recognize. It's usually when I drink an IPA.
Though. Oh, geez. I think we are in the Curtis Painter years, aren't we? Is it worse?
We're in like the Marquise Gray years.
I don't even know what years those were.
So per like 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago at this point, when we had episode 107, actually, but eight weeks ago legally.
Episode 100. We're on 107.
Yes. Yeah. So 8 weeks ago. Aaron Langton, who is a lying bastard, promised us that he would get us a can of Boiler Gold. And I promised that if this is better than for Loco Gold, I would eat underpants. I am not going to be eating underpants because this tastes like Blue Moon had a illegitimate child with Natty Light.
Ugh.
Damn.
That doesn't even sound...
This tastes like coriander and malt liquor.
Wait a minute. Illegitimate child. Didn't he just lose for mayor? Moving on.
This might be one of, like, the top... Remember, this tastes like Steel Reserve-ish, like E40-ish light.
Oh no!
I already don't like the nose on this at all.
How do you?
This beer is terrible. But in better news, all I taste is corn here. I did meet the man who created Lifesavers this week. They say he made a mint.
All I can smell is just like malt liquor. It doesn't even smell like a.
Yeah. So Aaron Langtot. You lying bastard. You need to eat some underwear.
I don't understand what this beer is. What is this?
So this is a beer for the Purdue Boilermaker football team. And it's about as good as the Purdue Boilermaker football team, which means not very good.
Who made it?
Terrible.
Like soap.
Yeah.
That's all I get is
terrible,
soap.
Terrible people who drink terrible, terrible beer.
Yeah, I don't know. Who makes it? Does it?
Brewed and canned by People's Brewing Company. 2006 North 9th Street, Lafayette, Indiana. And again,
damn, you're just gonna call them out that far?
Well, it says, I mean,
I know, but
they
damn,
put the return address on this thing.
You gotta throw out the address.
I literally want to put cat poop, a postage stamp on this, and send it to the address.
I know people can Google that and just throw it in there, but I mean, damn, you just
like I would rather drink Four Loko than this.
I mean,
have you tasted this, Rob?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's lingering, and I don't know, sir. I don't like it.
this is a nosebleed away from being bad beer.
I mean, it is pretty much just like anything that you normally bring in for question three. It is tasting like soap.
So this is drunk college kid beer.
I wouldn't drink this as a drunk college kid either. There's absolutely nothing you could do.
If you would put this in a 30 pack and sell it to me for $12.99, I would drink it.
That would be a huge caveat. That's probably like $6.
If you lined this table with cups right now about this full and we flipped them, I would drink this beer.
Because you want to finish it so fast.
One. So I don't know if you guys see the Red Republican beer guy. He got a bottle of Utopias.
I did see that.
And he beer bonged it.
Wow.
Good for him.
Damn.
How was that, Ken?
It's gone.
You want the rest? You want the rest of mine?
No.
No, you can have it. I'd rather have your boss tweed.
Damn.
Well, look at you being all fancy, drinking out of an actual.
I know. Yeah. Where do you get a glass?
I'll tell you what. I
went to the cabinet and got one.
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna do one of two things. I'm gonna challenge you.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
You can take one of these to the head right now. The Boiler Gold or the M43. Your choice.
That sucks. That sucks.
Or the Four Loko.
I'm probably going with the Four Loko.
Wow.
So, Angela, how you doing? No, we're not going to know still because we're going to get to the guests in a minute. So, Angela, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
What you drinking over there?
I've got some Boss Tweed and nachos.
How do you like your Boss Tweed and nachos? Do they pair well?
They pair fantastically.
Oh. Oh.
What?
Is that Boss Tweed?
Yeah, I need champagne.
You want some mimosa?
I want a hazy mimosa.
Yeah.
That's fitting for what you're wearing today.
Ooh. Hey, I had to work
it's
today.
It's very like Birmingham Royal Oak of you.
I'm happy with that. I think I look proper. I work today. I sell real estate.
For me, it's a bit St. Clair Shore-ish, which makes sense.
I don't have the boat shoes on.
Oh wait, are you wearing what kind of pants do you have on?
They're just jeans. They're only stitched jeans.
I take back what I said. I don't know. There's no stitching on those jeans. Those are very.
These are Birmingham. There's no way this is St. Clair Shore's A because. My pants go to my ankles, and I'm not wearing loafers without socks.
I got waited on by somebody who was wearing loafers the other day in Royal Oak. That was pretty cute. Leather, black leather loafers. His pants were rolled up. You could see his ankles.
Was it Madison Hildebrand? Sorry.
Did you ask him to dinner, and then he responds by saying, you know, well, I'm serving on a different night?
No.
Oh, that was too funny. So we do have a guest, though.
Did you have a joke?
That was the callback to Angela, someone asking her out on a date while she was serving.
Was that on the show?
That was on the show.
I did not say that on the show.
Whatever.
Yeah. Drop button.
Yeah, moving on.
We'll cut that.
Yeah.
Bo, what's going on from Fillmore 13?
Hello. Thanks for having me.
How you doing?
Fantastic. Excited to be here.
We appreciate you coming on out. Where are you located, to tell everyone real quick?
Fillmore 13 is in downtown Pontiac, right on Saginaw Street. 7 North is the address on Saginaw Street.
All right.
Is that perpendicular? Does that meet Huron Street, or is that run? Does that run with Huron Street?
It is perpendicular.
So they run into each other?
Yeah. Yes. About a block down.
Okay.
We're right across the street from Slow's Barbecue, their new spot, and the Strand Theater, which is a huge theater that they renovated down there. So we're directly across the street, and then pretty much kitty corner from the Crowfoot Ballroom.
That's still open?
It is still open. Jeez. And still rocking, yeah.
That's a great place. I was just there last month.
Who'd you go see?
Girl Talk.
Oh, that would have been a great show.
So what brought you to Pontiac?
Well, we were looking for a nice downtown setting.
And Pontiac?
For the brewery, right. It's kind of an awkward spot, you would think. And even Lee, who is the owner, he called and said, hey, we want to, you know, check out this building in Pontiac. I was like, are you crazy? You know, my experience is, you know, I was in Pontiac as a high school kid watching my high school play football at the Silverdome. And really never went to that, you know, part of town. And but we fell in love with the building. It's absolutely gorgeous, historical front. You know, we can't touch the front of the building because the historical commission. So it looks really nice, and we like that style. And we prefer that over, you know, something in a strip mall, or, you know, something that's a little bit more of a saturated market. So. We're excited for the opportunity. You know, Pontiac's making a comeback, and we want to help that and be there when it, you know, truly takes off. So
how long has Fillmore 13 been brewing beer?
Well, we opened in March, and I started brewing probably in December of 2016 to get batches of beer ready for opening. Our opening was a little bit delayed with just, you know, the normal licensing stuff and all of that. But the first week of March was when we first opened.
Was December when you started brewing beer, especially for that, like playing around with recipes? Or did you already have recipes in place and you were just trying to, like, age beer appropriately for a March release?
Sure. We didn't really know when the opening day would be, but we knew we wanted to open with a lot of beer. That's one of the things we're going at. Like, we have 23 handles. So we kind of don't like going into breweries and having 6 or 7 options. And then when you go back to it 2 months later, only one beer has changed. So we wanted to open with a ton of beer and try and get through it quickly so that it's, you know, rotating often enough to keep people interested. And you know, for me personally as a brewer, you don't want to make the same beer over and over again. You want to try different things out. And so I think when we opened, we had 18 beers on tap. And then now we have our wine license. So we've added mead, cider, and then some wine as well.
Has there been a beer that turns best for you since you've opened?
Like a bestseller?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I think most breweries would say that their IPA is their number one seller. It's, you know.
Do you find that true for you as well?
Yeah, definitely. The first month or two, I was a little bit shocked at what was sort of taking off as the number one. At the time, it was an apricot Belgian ale that we make.
Ken was probably smuggling that one.
After.
Well, the apricot double.
Yeah, actually, it's not a double. It's an Abbey.
Gotcha.
But that was what you put on your list as one of the beers to try at the Eastern Market Beer Festival.
That was definitely the winner for me at the UP Beer Festival when I was out there.
Well, like I said, the first month or two, that was our number one seller. And we were, a little bit surprised by that. But after a couple of months, IPA took over, which I think most breweries would say their IPA is, probably their best seller.
Now, with Pontiac and that northern Oakland County niche being more blue collar, some people have said, people still come into our brewery and ask for a Bud Light or a yellow beer, as we call it.
Sure.
Do you have a yellow beer, like a, be it a Kolsch or a Pilsner or a light lager?
Yep, we've got a Kolsch beer that we'll keep on year rounds. But of those 23 handles that I mentioned, only 7 of them will always be the same. There's 7 beers that I'll make year round. The rest are going to rotate, be seasonally appropriate. But then whatever we want to do, we can play around with it because we have so much room for beer.
So what are your 7 mainstays then? Let's talk about those real quick. You've talked about your IPA, probably going to be your number one.
Yeah, War Cry is what we call it, War Cry IPA. The Kolsch, as we call it, Fillmore Gold. I make an alt beer. And that sort of satisfies
the... Why does everyone look at me?
Because whenever anybody says alt or brown, we look at you to see your reaction.
I think you might. I think at this point you lactate alt beer.
Would you like to taste some?
I will take a suckle on your Zipple for sure.
I mean, it probably tastes like Boner Gold.
Oh, God. Maybe saltier, actually. Yeah. With a little hair on it.
Right.
All right, so...
I think alt beer satisfies sort of the, red, amber... beer drinker. You mentioned people come in asking for Bud Lights or whatever. Another thing that people refer to when they want a beer is Killian's or something in that vein. But alt beer is a great, very traditional German style beer without being overly sort of offensive in any one direction. It's not super hoppy, it's not super bitter, it's not super dark. So it's a great option for a brewery that if they want to keep a red beer on. So what we did War Cry, Kolsch, alt beer. I make a hazelnut porter as well. That was selling really well, and we'll keep that on, along with a coffee stout. So 2 dark beers. That's 5. And then Hoppy Nooner is another IPA. But it's made with mosaic hops, so they're a little bit less piney.
Fruitier, very fruity.
A little bit more fruity, than the hops that the War Cry is made with. So, and then the 7th beer, the apricot. Apricot
milk. So that one stayed on after it
was
both
did. Yeah, once we saw how well it was doing, and then... have a few friends of mine, other brewers, and people that I trust, people that we all trust, the team at the brewery, they all said this is absolutely amazing. It's unlike some anything we've had other places, and we said, well, let's keep it on tap year round and see how it goes. So
what kind of seasonals do you guys have right now, or that you're working on for December?
Well, yeah, we just ran out of our Oktoberfests and everything, so things are moving along nicely where I can get rid of the seasonally appropriate stuff. And now that it's getting colder, I've brought on some higher alcohol beers and a few extra dark beers as well. So American Strong Ale I made, we're pretty happy with that one. It's kind of like an American barley wine. The double IPA, which I have here, and then the Augustus Gloop is a double chocolate milk stout.
Let's crack open that double IPA.
The IPA, or do you want the double chocolate?
I got my beer. We can do the double IPA first.
Yeah. Sounds like you guys are kind of staying away from like the gimmicky beers. Like, did you do a pumpkin beer?
I did not do a pumpkin beer.
Did anybody ask?
What about a sweet potato beer or a yam beer?
People certainly ask for these things. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not making beer just for me. You know, we have to sell this stuff. But a pumpkin beer, I think, would stick around a little bit longer than we want it to. So I have a 7-barrel system. So if I could get away with making 2 barrels of a pumpkin beer, absolutely, I'll do it. I don't want 7 barrels of it, you know, so.
You don't have like a small pilot bench system that you can
unload
on?
No, we're looking into that, and it's definitely something I want to try. I'm fairly traditional when it comes to my, you know, my techniques and the recipes that I have. So I would like to monkey around with some of the more exotic ingredients that people are using these days.
Has there been an exotic ingredient that you've used that has you know, taken a stay for you, good or bad?
You know, one thing I did that kind of surprised me was I, over the summer, we made Hefeweizen, and I had enough materials on hand. How many more of these do we need?
You and Angela, actually.
Okay.
What gentleman serves Angela last?
Around the table. Wow. I thought it would go around the table.
I mean, you got, you're good. I passed my
I think
mine
I did hand you the first one. But
you
then
did.
Yeah.
She was eating nachos.
For the people listening that aren't watching.
But yeah, over the summer I made Hefeweizen, and I made a second batch of it. The first batch went relatively quickly. And then I decided to make it a peach Hefeweizen. So we literally bought, I think it was 40 pounds of peaches.
Were these peaches in a can?
No. Fresh peaches. We peeled them, cut them in half, pitted them.
That's a chore.
Put them in a big, huge bag. Now, the beer is finished, right? This beer is done. It's ready to go. It's ready to drink. So it's not like I started with it and worked with the peach throughout the entire process, but we just put it into a big bag, sort of designed for hops or whatever. And I threw it in the top of the tank that the beer was sitting in. And I still had some of batch one that was on tap, so I didn't need this beer right away. And I think it sat in there about 2 weeks, and it was pretty remarkable. Really subtle peach flavor without any of the sugary sweetness that you might get from cans, you know, or an extract. The beer would have been ready to drink in an hour, you know, because you just pump it in there, mix it up, and
so this was after the beer had fermented is when you put it in.
This was all done.
This was not boiled.
Complete afterthought.
Let's do it.
Let's try and do it. And you know, I'm fairly traditional, and certainly with German beers. I lived in Germany for a while, so I've got a certain amount of respect for that. Always do it exactly this way. Anything else is wrong or illegal. But, you know, it was just a fun sort of project. I had never done anything like that with my beer. Other breweries I've worked at, you know, they do different things, but with my beer, I'd never done anything like that. And it felt kind of good, especially since it, you know, turned out pretty nice.
Yeah.
So
tell us about the double IPA that we just poured.
Double IPA. This is my second crack at the style with Fillmore 13. The first double IPA I made, you know, people liked it. The reviews were good. It sold very well. But personally, I wasn't very happy with it. It just didn't come out the way that I wanted it to. So I sort of went back to square one and redesigned the recipe. And this one I'm very excited about because the name of the beer is something that my son sort of came up with on his own.
Did he drink it and tell you what it should
be? He did not drink it, no. Well, he had named the beer before I actually made it.
Okay.
And the name of the beer is Octo the Omega Warrior. So my son, he just turned 7. He was playing sort of make-believe, and he was a king, and I was a king with him, and he has a stuffed octopus that he's named Octo, and he gave him the title Omega Warrior because he's the best warrior in the land, mainly because he has 8 arms and he can hold 8 diamond swords. So he's playing this game, and I'm kind of a part of it, And the more I said this, Octo the Omega Warrior, I was like, that's absolutely 100% a beer. So I went to, and I think within maybe 10 or 12 days, I had the beer in the fermenter.
So who drew the picture over at your brewery? Because you have a nice little photo of the...
Yeah, the picture on the chalkboard with on the beer list was drawn by a very good friend of ours. Her name's Kim. She does all of the beer, chalkboards that are on our beer list. Sort of my hope, though, is maybe if we ever get to the point where we are packaging beer or distributing beer, maybe we'll make this beer and my son, Max, can draw the picture and get a label out of it, you know.
Is he artistic?
So, a little bit, you know, when he wants to be.
Just take a picture of him with this little octopus, right?
More often than not, though, if you ask him to draw something, it becomes a chore. Yeah, you know, but sure, if he's just doing it on his own because he wants to, he's come up with some pretty great stuff.
So how did you get into brewing, though? Where did you start? You said you lived in Germany, so
yeah,
obviously you kind of shaped
it
a little bit.
I started home brewing when I was in college.
Because beer was too expensive?
A little bit, yeah. obviously we were all drinking, you know, the cheap stuff. Because that's what was available and what we could afford. Once I remember going into the beer store and having someone buy a beer for me. And I said, ooh, what's that? You know, I saw this six-pack, and it just looked interesting and different. And it turned out to be Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. And it was just so different than the typical Bud Miller packaging. But then once I saw the price, I was like, oh man, you know, I can't do this every weekend. So I just started, you know, thinking about someone actually makes this stuff. You know, I was a smart guy. I understood, you know, a lot of things, but it never occurred to me that someone literally goes to work to make beer. And once that realization hit me, I said, well, we can probably do this at home. I'd never heard of home brewing. I had never heard of any of that stuff. And I looked online, and sure enough, there were all these kits and catalogs and options for some that wanted to make beer at home. So I gave it a shot and started making beer that I wanted to drink, or at least that I thought I wanted to drink. You know, I wasn't very good at it at the beginning, but batch after batch, you start experimenting, you know, trying different things. And
were you using like homebrew extracts, or were you just trying to go full on?
It was extracts, definitely at the beginning. I did a few batches with, you know, that were all grain, but that introduces a lot of challenges that I wasn't quite equipped, you know, to handle. So
are you in a, I'm trying to do this, trying to think, because when I was a junior in college, I convinced my roommate to homebrew, and he brewed the bitterest beer I'd ever had, so I didn't like it. But I just remember that he...
Double dancer?
No. It was some sort of honey brown that just tasted like...
How do you get bitter out of a honey brown?
That's what he wanted to make, but it tasted like E40.
Honey brown wasn't that expensive to begin with.
Well, I mean, like, I don't mean like honey brown the beer, but he's like, let's make a brown beer that tastes like honey. Did not work, because all it tasted was hops, and then he ended up putting in his car overnight, and it was December, and it blew up in his back seat, in his trunk, and it smelled like apple cider beer, because that was the second batch. And all I remember is him, like, just over our stove, like, you know, trying to make beer. Was that your experience as well, or did you kind of map the process out?
was in college. My roommate at the time, he helped out. He was a little bit more studious than I was, a little bit more responsible than I was. So,
to be fair, this roommate that I'm sorry, I don't mean to lump you in this, like, herd with him. He also tripped acid on Friday to get out of his bed till the next Wednesday. So clearly they got to have his priorities together. So maybe I'm sorry that
I never did anything like that.
Wow, we didn't ask.
So you ever thought of putting acid in a beer
before?
Notice
my voice changed.
Oh yeah, yeah,
just,
yeah.
Just to make sure that it was super serious.
Yes. Yeah.
I think someone was just telling me about a beer brewed with mushrooms, actually. I think that's a thing.
Okay.
The special kind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I wonder if like
I'll Google it right now.
The what are they called? Like psychotropes or something like that? Like the stuff gets boiled off, kind of like when you boil off alcohol, making like beer battered fish or something like that, where like there is no alcohol, but you're still using beer to make the batter.
Yeah, I don't know. I know you can make tea with psychotropic or psychedelic mushrooms.
All right, so
the whole heat thing, I don't know.
No. Back to Fillmore 13.
Back to beer.
Yeah. Did you guys have parking there, I would assume? What's the parking situation?
You know, we do not have a parking lot ourselves, but there is street parking in Pontiac.
Make sure you pay.
Yes, it's a point of contention. You know, we wish that people could park for free, but we don't really have control over that. But I think it's $1 an hour.
I got a warning when I parked there the last time I was, because I had stopped at Experimentation prior to you guys opening,
right?
And I had a warning ticket on my car in regards to, hey, don't do it again.
Yeah, that's nice to be able to at least get a warning.
So, you know, it's a lot of cities that have like the extremely cheap parking that aren't the Royal Oaks or the Birminghams usually give you that, because I was at somewhere over in like the Midwest of the state, and I remember parking because I was working there for 10 hours and I got a, hey, don't park here for 10 hours ticket. But it was a friendly ticket, like, hey, don't do it again. I'm like, well, I'm leaving tonight, so
right.
I ain't coming back.
So food. Do you guys do food?
Food, yeah. Full kitchen, awesome pizzas, burgers, sandwiches, you know, appetizers, things like that.
Now, I notice a lot of breweries do pizzas. Is it just because pizza's a cheap, quick way to feed your hungry customers, or drunk people like pizza? Is it kind of a mix of both?
I think pizza is one of those things that's, you know, kind of easy, but kind of like beer, you know, making beer is relatively easy, but how do you make, you know, good beer? What steps do you take to sort of step it up a little bit? And we have an incredibly huge, heavy, very expensive looking sort of, you know, stone oven. So, you know, biased, yes, but our pizza is really, really good.
Well, I think one of the big things too, especially with that, like when you talk about breweries, it's a shared experience usually. Like, not too many people go into breweries by themselves. So when you go into a brewery, like, pizza is a shared thing. Like, when the three of us went to Ashley's for the Cask Ale Festival, we didn't order, like, we ordered appetizers, and we all just, like, ate each other's appetizers. So
I just remember poutine. Did we get anything else?
we had some other things, man. <Okay. laughs> Yeah, you were a little toasty that day.
It's really good at Ashley's, the poutine.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. The fries kind of meat seasoning.
You got to get the pesto fries. You don't remember what we ordered, but you remember the fries. I remember being disappointed with the cold and microwave fries.
Yeah,
if any of the fries that you get, you got to get the pesto fries. Those to me have always been the best
time.
Ones.
So you guys just had a bottle release. How did it go?
Went really well. You know, we made a few different items that we were especially proud of, and things that, you know, would go into a bottle, barley wine. And then a mead as well. So we barrel aged those for 6 or 7 months, and figured, why not? You know, let's put it into a bottle and sell it. That way, you know, this stuff doesn't have to be only here at the brewery. People can take it home, and, you know, a lot of people like to cellar these things and keep them around. So.
Do you think you'll do another one in the future? Did it go smoothly? I mean, it's always hit or miss. You never know what to expect.
Yeah, you know, I've been in the business a long time, and you know, watching places like the Coonan's or Witch's Hat, and then, you know, Dark Horse, and, you know, just these famous breweries that make, you know, amazing beers that go into a bottle. They've got you know, people lined up around the block, and, you know. So not that we were expecting that in any way, but you got to, you know, sort of think about it for the future. If at some point I make a beer and we bottle it and release it, and it's, you know, desirable enough, we want to be able to do it right. So absolutely, we're going to do it again. I've got some Russian Imperial Stout in a bourbon barrel right now, and we are looking at bottling that relatively soon. So
Nice.
We always like to ask about happy accidents. Is there a beer that you guys, or you brewed, or somebody threw at you, that you brewed, that you thought, eh, I'll just do it to placate this person, and it actually turned out good, or something you just toyed with, not thinking much of, that turned out to be something that actually didn't suck?
Yeah, well, not so far with Fillmore 13. In my career, I've had happy accidents where, you know, during the brew day, you think, oh, you know, I'm never going to get a beer out of this, and it ends up being, you know, one of the best beers you've ever made.
Yeah, do you remember any of those?
Yeah, well, one in particular was years ago at Copper Canyon Brewery. In South
Funny. We'll have other questions about that. But.
Well, that's where I started my brewing career way back, you know, let's say it's 16-some years ago now.
I feel like we've had to have, like, interviewed every single person who worked for that brewery.
I know.
Or way too many people worked for that brewery.
Well, I started there, and then I moved back to Germany, and they had a few different brewers, and when I was out of brewing for, I was out of the business for a little while, and I started back just bartending at Copper Canyon, because the owner there was always a great guy for me, and my son was, you know, very young, so I couldn't do sort of the, you know, 9-to-5, 40-hour week thing anymore. So I was just bartending there. And then at some point, the brewer that was there at the time left, and I made a few batches before they closed down. And one of them was a Hefeweizen, and everything that could go wrong sort of did. And you know, I did not expect to be able to get any beer out of this batch at all, but it turned out to be one of the best Hefeweizens I've ever made.
Was it just crisp, or was there a flavor to it, or?
It was just a traditional German Hefe, so, you know.
So there wasn't any, like, adjuncts that you added to
make
it?
No, but, you know, I had a lot of equipment issues, and at some point, I literally came within 5 minutes of just opening the drain and hosing it out and trying to, you know, and starting again after we got some stuff fixed. But I'll never be able to make that beer again. I could not tell you how it happened, because everything went wrong. A little bit more on the controlled part of things is the apricot, the Belgian ale. You know, when we opened, we made an Abbey ale, just to sort of, you know, fill in that sort of Belgian beer category for opening. And I said, there's no way this beer is going to sell very fast. So if I take half of it and age it with some fruit, you know, before we open and put that on tap, then I only have half as much of each to sell. And it took off. But, you know, what we did sort of as an afterthought became one of our most popular beers, and now it's a flagship. You know?
I think a lot of people love the apricot taste. I think Magic Hat number 9 does it consistent and well, that I think a lot of people go to it. And then with us in the southeast part of the state, we have Dragon Meets Castle Bright, which you can get in a bottle.
Right.
And therefore, you can get more than just Magic Hat number 9. You can see what the trend and the style can do with the apricot. I think a lot of more people are more open to apricots, even if they don't like the taste of apricots, right, or they're not eating apricot in any form or fashion.
One thing I truly like about our apricot is it's real subtle. You know, it's not smacking you in the face with, you know, overt, you know, fruit flavors. You can still taste the Abbey behind it. It's just a little bit of a hint that lets you know that it's there. So,
you know, when I had it at the UP Beer Festival, like, it was just so smooth, so easy to drink, perfect for that day. Like, it was one of those beers, especially for me, and I don't know how you guys feel, because I know we have at least two big beer drinkers who love the, you know, the higher ABV, the barrel age, the stouts, the porters. But for me, like, when I want a beer and I want to drink, like, I want to drink a lot of it. Like, I could buy a growler of your beer and drink it all in one night.
Right.
And not get hammered.
Right.
So let's add that caveat, because you could buy a growler of a lot of the beers. Like, the, you know, like, Black Tuesday was amazing, but I drink a growler of that.
And I think
challenge accepted.
I think fruit in general just cuts beer. where, you know, you could drink your standard, whether it's a stout or a pilsner, you get that beer flavor, but when you throw a little bit of fruit in it, it just makes it more subtle and more drinkable sometimes to go right back to that standard beer flavors.
Well, and I agree, and I think with the Belgian style, that strong ale, that you know, double, triple, quad, as well as the Abbey, that fruit cutting it, and I think not necessarily because it's not a fruit, but what Dragon Mead does over with Killer Bee, when they take the final absolution and they add the honey, and those who don't like that strong final absolution taste, which isn't that strong in regards to like other triples, but when you cut that with honey and you don't taste the alcohol at all, it's so dangerous.
Yeah, right, very dangerous.
You know, I don't know if you guys have ever had it, but it's probably one of their, like, Dragon Mead's best beers. Oh. Is that Killer Bee, in my opinion, minus the fact that I love their Double Dragon and their Castle Bright and their, you know, I love a lot of their, yeah, lot of their
that
beers.
Castle Bright is awesome.
The Castle Bright's really good. So
I haven't had that one, Castle Bright.
I just wanted to piggyback on last week's episode. I can't remember if this was on air or off, but my roommate did text me and said he will come and bong a Bourbon County tonight if we want him to.
I don't think we have a Bourbon County for him to bong tonight.
There was one on our counter.
Oh, geez. If you're going to provide it and do it, we'll videotape it for sure. So before we take a quick break, Matt, yes?
I just say before we take a quick break, I just want to go ahead and point out our New England IPA challenge, bracket challenge that's going on right now.
Yes.
This is we just 16 beers, 16 breweries. We're talking about the New England IPA that they brew, nothing else. What's your favorite? The haze is the craze, and
haze is good.
Yeah, and we're gonna be pays. We're gonna pay for a barrel of this beer of the winter at Brown Iron Brewhouse in Washington Township, just north of 26 on Van Dyke.
Did you just try to say that it's the haze that pays?
The haze that pays is the craze for days. Away. So go to betondraft.com on Facebook.
Does anybody else have the Happy Gilmore scene theme like stuck in their head? Like you just see that scene?
No.
Why don't we just go
eat at Mandalay Bay?
All right. Things out of clay, lay by the bay, I just may.
So drink your mugs out of clay at Brown Arm Brew House, Olay.
Taco Tuesday?
Make sure Taco Tuesday.
There you go.
So make sure you visit this week. Tell us what your favorite beers are. Vote on all of the challenges.
So round one's done. Round one's done.
But make sure this week, the week of November the something, the 10th, the 11th through the 16th.
That is correct.
6 p.m.
Make sure you vote. Let us know what your favorite is, and we might just buy you a free pint.
Well, if free to them, not to us. We're buying that.
Well, might buy you a free pint.
So yes, that is correct.
This is to the person listening.
Yes, yeah. I know. We just got to make sure, you know, legalities and stuff. You can't give away beer.
That's true.
We are buying it. So we'll be right back, though, with the Better on Draft podcast. So we are still here at Fillmore 13. Bo, we appreciate you staying. I know you poured out the rest of the double IPA, but let's crack open that the Augustus
Gloop.
Gloop.
To a little homage to
Augustus Gloop.
With a bunker.
Yes. This was...
The Ripple Loop is gone.
It's kind of a hard beer to name. I'm not the best at naming beers, unless it...
I am. As, just call me.
Are you good at it?
We pretty much have our de facto beer namer in here. He's a regular beer name generator.
No, just...
I might be awesome on 3000.
Random conversations you have with friends. And like the Octo, the Omega Warrior, you know, that name jumped out and automatically presented itself. But other things, it's not so easy. So we had a good long 30-minute conversation about this beer name, which is kind of long for us because usually it's, let's name it that, and it's okay.
I think beer should be like, just whatever it hits you when you drink it is what you should call it.
Well, some people like to name their beer before it's made.
Yeah, see, I don't quite do that. I think of what beer do I want to drink, and let's make that beer. But then all of a sudden it's done and going on tap in 2 days, and you have to think of, you know, what to call it.
We have that same problem where I work, too, where we're scrambling at the table. What are we going to name it? Everybody try it.
Some beers don't need a name. You know, some beers are just what they are.
I have a name that's... I'll give it to you, because... You're the first one that's been into our studio since. I want to call a beer. I want to make a beer and call it, "You Won't Like This." And I want it to be a middle of the road, very approachable, drinkable beer.
Okay.
Like a Pilsner or a Kolsch or even like a light lager. So when people say, "You won't like this," when they go into a craft beer bar and they say, "What's this? You won't like this." Oh, it's a yellow beer, tastes like Bud Light, but you won't like this.
Right.
So they'll try it and they're like, "Actually, I really do like this."
You're like taunting them with the name.
Yeah.
So reverse then they psychology.
Exactly. So then they think, "Oh, you know what? If I don't like that, then I might actually like this red or this stout."
Then they're forced to buy it to test.
Yeah, because it's one of those challenges. Like,
but
you
won't
like this.
What if they truly don't like it and they say, "You're right"?
Then you politely then walk them to the curb and you kick them in the ass.
I've often thought having a series of beers all on tap at the same time, all released the same day.
You won't like this, you really won't like this?
One is called Please, one is called Thank You, and one is called You're Welcome. And a much better comedian than I could come up with a pretty hilarious sketch, I think, how the ordering process would go. You know,
are you doing like an Abbott and Costello type?
Something like that. Can I have a thank you, please?
Who's on first?
There you go. You're welcome.
Have you ever thought about that? What you should really do is do a Belgian release, like a and then have one called a Never, and then what was it going to give you, and then Up, Never, and Up.
Yeah, but at that point, then you can like sell it as a trio of beers for like a flight price, and somebody's gonna order it, never gonna give you up.
I'm actually really into this. I think it's a good idea.
We might be onto something. Yeah.
I like gimmicky stuff though.
A Rickroll flight.
Well, you know, there's all those evil twin IPAs with those crazy names.
Oh, their names have gotten ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 10 to 15 word names in their beers, where it's essentially...
on the beer list.
Right.
It gets cut off, and it's like, wait, what am I drinking?
It's a conversation on the can.
Maybe they're super clever, though. Maybe we need to drink them all, and if you put the cans together, it'll actually be a message to us.
Wasn't that like... Star Wars. There was a band that had like 10 words for every single... I want to say it was Fall Out Boy or something like that, because like one of the songs was like... "We had another name, but our lawyers told us we couldn't use it," and that was the name of the song.
They made it. Eminem put an interlude of that on his album.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Rosenberg. Yeah, I don't understand. Well, we got the beer. What do you guys think of the beer? Since we all have it now.
Good.
There's no malt feel to it. Like, there's no carbonation. It's just. Black and smooth.
This beer is definitely a little bit more undercarbonated than most would be.
Yeah, but it's also coming out of a growler too, so it's not like off tap. It's
I'm pretty sure that's how they fill growlers, is off of the tap.
I meant like I don't trust any growler. It doesn't taste as good as it does off of.
So it's better on draft, is what you're saying.
Intentionally, I didn't want to carbonate this beer as much as Well, you can carbonate beers to any degree that you want. This one I definitely wanted to be under, just so you could, appreciate the body of the beer, and then that deep sort of, chocolate.
Yeah, it kind of almost drinks like an iced coffee a little bit.
Oh my God,
a little bit of roast.
And it's smooth like a black lager almost.
Yeah.
That is very smooth. I like this.
Well, this beer I made with. My first boss here in Michigan at a Michigan brewery, Matt Allen. He came up from Pennsylvania, and we made this beer together. And
is this a Copper Canyon beer?
This was not. No, this was just something we came up with together. But he pretty much got me going in the brewing world. So he helped us a ton getting set up with all the equipment issues and everything before we were open. So this was a fun beer that he and I got to make together. So
this could be really sneaky at 8.5.
Oh, is that what the ABV is for this?
Yeah. It's also, we have some of this very limited amount in a bourbon barrel as well.
Oh.
So what we do with
that... What does that go to in a bourbon barrel?
What's that?
What does the ABV go to in a bourbon barrel?
Well, I think... some beers, you'll lose alcohol,
because
alcohol will evaporate, but we don't filter or do any pasteurization. So if I put beer into a bourbon barrel, there will be some residual, you know, fermentation going on. Mm-hmm. So it'll potentially go up a little bit. So
I'd be interested to taste this in a bourbon barrel because this is so smooth that bourbon flavor would give it a kick.
I would love that bourbon kick. I just love bourbon.
Typically, when you get a stout like this, it has a kick to it already.
Right.
But this one doesn't. So having that kick and putting it probably at a 10 and a half, 11 beer after bourbon barrel, this would be like boozy and oozy and smoothie.
Talking ABV.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a very significant jump in alcohol. That won't happen.
No, it'd be a point. Maybe
don't threaten me. A good time.
Maybe.
So it just, 9.
Nine, I would guess, is a safe bet.
It just kind of depends on how long you keep it in the bourbon barrels, too. Right. Like obviously, the longer you keep it in there, the ABV is gonna soak up a little bit more. But
the barley wine we made, it was in a 55-gallon bourbon barrel for 6 months. That went up 1 point over 6 months. The Russian Imperial Stout and this double chocolate milk stout. We have an 8-gallon bourbon barrels actually from Motor City Gas right down the street. So the whole aging process goes a lot faster because it's a smaller vessel. So it's not in there as long and not as much chance for fermentation or evaporation depending on what happens. But
yeah, speaking of barrel aging beers, North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan's got two beers that they're kicking in their tanks up there. They got the coconut brown, which I'm really excited for. You can actually see the barrels too. They're actually under the shuffleboard table.
Oh, nice.
So you can accidentally run into them like I may have done while I was walking.
Purple bruise then?
No, I do not have a purple bruise.
Best way to hide things and put it in plain sight, huh?
Yeah, it just kind of looks like there was just two wooden barrels just hanging out, but that's what they're doing is they're aging two of their beers right in the front of the house. They don't have that much room over there.
No, they really, I mean, especially in that area there where the shuffleboard table is.
So, yeah, they have it hanging out right there. I spent a lot of time there this week actually brewing a beer. Got to see the process, got to see everything. We used their pilot system. We didn't use their main system, but they were showing me what they would do on their main system if we were brewing it, because I didn't want to take up a huge pilot day or a huge brew system for this small little pilot I wanted to make. but it would have been interesting, but we had a lot of fun making that. We made an alt beer that we're going to be bringing. I'm going to grab a growler for the show, but we're going to have a release date. See if I can get some people to come out, try it. Hopefully people like it.
Better alt draft.
Nope.
That's right. You have a name.
I already named it. They tried to get me to change the name because they had a better name, and I said you can use it for any other beer you want because it's not a name that is a pun on alt. But the beer is going to be called Ultraviolet.
Ooh.
So really, really excited for it. It's going to be probably a couple weeks before we...
Is it a punk band out of Ukraine?
It is not a punk band out of the Ukraine.
Sounds like it might be.
What?
It sounds like a band you might hear in the original Triple X movie.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
Sky surfing.
So, as always, well, we got to go over the results real quick for the New England IPA Better on Draft Showdown.
We do.
As I'm bringing it up right now as I had it. So, I did have, in regards to my own personal opinion, I had 7 out of 8. I think you guys probably had all 8 out of 8.
Obviously.
But for the Shorts versus Downey, the number 16 seed.
The type of dandy! What an upset!
Good Lord.
And they're going to be going terrible. Up against the winner of Roken Baffin, which is Baffin Brewing.
Of course. All right, so I'm 2 for 2.
Yep.
So
that,
far.
That sounds like it'd be, that's a family-on-family crime, isn't it? That's kind of like Gangs of New York style?
I think so, because...
I would hate to see Daniel Day-Lewis in that one.
We had Brooks versus Ellison. That was the 10-7 matchup. Ellison takes the win. And River Rouge versus Oddside. Oddside takes the win.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brooks was like a top vote-getter in the other stuff.
Brooks went back-to-back. Like, they beat... Or they lost to Sherwood in week one, and that was a huge...
It was like 450 versus like 451, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was something really, really close between the two, so...
So they must not have, like, gotten behind at this time.
I mean, it was I think it was a little more personal back when it was them against Sherwood.
Okay.
So I think maybe that's what got a lot more people out to vote for that
one. Go Eddie.
So then we had Old Nation versus Drafting Table, and Boss Tweed takes the victory.
Yeah, he pretty much.
Yeah.
Was it close?
It was not.
Sorry, you know, Grunge Phase getting a short straw on that one.
The folks at Drafting Table, they put up a good fight. I think that was one of the biggest voted matchups was Old Nation versus Drafting Table. But I don't know if anybody's going to be able to take down Travis in this bracket. But they're going to be going up against...
I like Drafting Table so much.
I do too. Witch's Hat versus Liberty Street. Witch's Hat squeaked out a win.
You know, I really think this guy is a sneaky good beer.
You think so?
I do. I hate their handles. Like, I literally hate their handles. But their beer is good. Like, when I go to a bar and I've never seen a beer before, I ask, based on the handles, my attractiveness to the handles, uh-huh. and ones that I haven't seen before.
I think that's why Ellison always is, like, on point, because that handle's a really nice hat.
I think Caitlin just goes literally door-to-door and sells it.
the Capitol?
Yeah, the Capitol
building. I don't like it.
You don't like the Capitol building? I love the Capitol building.
My favorite handles are Greenbush. It's just a piece of... Oh, there.
Wow.
My favorite handle is the Alaskan Summer. It's got an orca on it.
I have that T-shirt. I have an Alaskan Summer T-shirt.
So we do have two more matchups that finished. Ascension versus Petoskey. And remember, this is Ascension's Spooltwerf, which will get remade if it wins. If not, it'll never be made again.
So it's
That's like a retirement match
in
WWE.
This is a Kevin Sullivan versus Chris Benoit.
this is what we were told, because they are the continuing with the I think you're thinking the Shockmaster.
No, the Taskmaster, Kevin Sullivan.
I don't know. I know who Kevin Sullivan is.
His nickname was the Taskmaster in the WCW.
I never watched WCW. So that's what they said, though. They said they'll never make it again.
And what's their reasoning?
They said they're going to continue with their serial IPA trend and continue to make more different ones.
So they're kicked out.
I have to say, for them to just be like, we're never making that again, like, how many people even got to try that beer?
I don't know.
Enough to satisfy them to then move on to probably whatever you say
backwards.
Hey, whatever you say backwards for Lucky Charms is probably next. That's my guess.
That would be a good one, yeah.
And anyway, then finally.
Hold on, sorry, you didn't say who won.
Oh, Ascension won.
Okay.
Ascension won.
They're kicked out.
And then the last one, they're going to be going up against the winner of Dearborn versus Rochester Mills, which was Juice Bigelow, Rochester Mills.
So the right side of that bracket is going to be heavy hitters with Old Nation and Rochester Mills, huh?
I think, yeah. Rochester Mills, because so the winner of Old Nation and Witch's Hat will face the winner of Ascension and Rochester Mills.
Those are some big-time players.
I'm predicting Old Nation versus Ascension.
No, versus Outside Animals.
Well, this would be Old Nation.
I don't know. Those tank pieces are everywhere.
Considering the turnout they had last time, I am not underestimating Baffin this time.
Well, to be fair, I was at bat for like 3 times this week. Because they have a new beer called Porta de Rossi, which I don't know if that's for Porsche de Rossi, but it's a raspberry porter with 100 pounds of raspberry.
Oh, wow.
It is so good. It's like, it's crisp as a lager, and then just the dark notes pair with the raspberry, and you're like, holy shit. Like, I don't like dark beers, but this doesn't drink like a dark beer.
Hmm. Have you guys made a New England IPA over at Fillmore, or?
We haven't.
Not giving in to peer pressure?
No, I went up to the World Expo of Beer, and our beers weren't there, but I walked around, and it's like every place I went for a beer, they had some sort of East Coast or New England type thing, and I was a little bit shocked and surprised. You know, it's, you know, I'm in the business. I love beer. I drink beer. But, you know, most of my time obviously spent at work. And then I go home. So I haven't been exposed to a lot of these, you know, things. And I'm a little bit surprised that everyone's desire to jump on a certain bandwagon. You know, if it's an amazing beer, sweet, make it. I don't have a problem with that. But what I don't want to do is make a beer, and it might be an amazing beer, and have it automatically discarded as only average simply because it wasn't available 8-9 months ago, you know. So I like the style. You know, M43 is an incredible beer, Boss Tweed as well. And I know those guys at Old Nation, they you know, no one knows beer better, really.
Well, you want to talk, but, like, brewing beer, two-style brewing beer, following, like, old-style rules. Like, absolutely. Travis does that right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's got the, you know, the...
He's got a German background just like you got.
Yeah, well, he's got, you know, well, times a million. You know, he's just... nobody knows the chemistry and the science behind it better. And then to see him, you know, the whole thing with M43, to see him literally explain why this is happening, you know, what is the reason? Why is there a hazy beer like this that looks like it has flour in it? Or, you know, for him to be able to explain all of that and then turn around and say, here, we'll make one, and here it is. It's just incredible, you know. But I don't want to, you know, do that and automatically be, you know, discounted simply because I didn't have it 6 months ago. You know, I've to this day, I've never made a black IPA. I'm going to wait just because, you know, I don't want to make a fad beer. Not that M43 is or any of these other, you know, Northeast IPAs are. I just, you know, I think I'll wait until the clamor settles down a little
bit. It's quite interesting that you say that, because obviously it's you're caught between wanting, you know, you're in a business. You're in there to make money. You're in there to succeed. You're in there to be self-sufficient, you know, make the money, make a living, and continue growth. And when you see these breweries, for instance, I was talking with Evan over at Baffin, and he was extremely upset because... Not extremely upset. He's just like, you know, we market, we do well. Mango Unchained is their top beer, and then they had a New England IPA, and he's like, this beer just sold just as fast, just because of the style.
Right.
Absolutely nothing, no flavor, nothing. He just made it, and it sold just as fast as their Mango Unchained. And when you look at that, and you have, like, Axel just came out with yesterday's news, which is their joke in regards to the fact that, hey, we just made a New England IPA. And... for me, as someone who doesn't like IPAs, I understand the fact you need to make an IPA. It's hard to survive in the beer industry without an IPA. But, you know, we see it at least in the state of Michigan, but it's in other states too. I was at Maumee Bay, and they have their hashtag fake juice. And they're just like, we don't know how this sells so much, but it just sells so much.
It's just the nationwide trend right now, though. Once everybody got a taste of Treehouse and Trillium, everybody wants it. Everybody has.
Nobody
it.
Wants to pay Treehouse Trillium prices.
No, but there's one of those in every. I mean, Monkish in California is the same thing as what Treehouse is in Vermont. It's maybe even better. I mean, I don't know. It's just the style. It's everywhere.
One comment I saw recently in one of the you know, craft beer groups on Facebook, a member of good standing said, you know, if I had $5 million, I'd open a brewery, and all we would make is this style of beer, and I would make, you know, 10 times my money back, and ride it for as long as we could, and once, you know, demand for this style of beer peters out, I would sell and retire a very happy man. Now, that's a business decision, right?
Yeah. Well, if I had $5 million, yeah.
when I'm trying to think of beer to make, you know, I'm not thinking of how much money can I make off of this beer. I'm trying to make a beer that's never been made by human hands before, never been consumed
but
by another human
before.
But
it has
before.
To cross your mind that you have to push the beer. You have to move the beer or it...
That, you know, sales is absolutely a part of it. But it, for me personally, it'll never be the reason that I make a beer because I think it'll sell well. You know, I want to make good beer. Awesome beer, amazing beer, whatever. You know, I want to make a beer that I can drink with my friends and share with the public. If it sells well, awesome. If it doesn't, adjust and move on. You know, but I can't see myself making a beer of this style right now, you know, maybe in a year or two, and go from there, you know. But I'm not looking at dollars and cents when I'm trying to decide what beer to make.
I guess maybe because I don't have the passion. Obviously, you do. You have the passion, the history. For me, as a business person, like, as much as I hate the fact that, you know, everyone has the IPAs, and, you know, I always, when I go to a bar and you just see all these IPAs, and I keep hounding on IPAs, but everybody loves them. And that's the thing is that I am the minority in regards to the fact that I don't like IPAs. Your double IPA was fantastic, though.
Thank you, Rick.
Brown beers matter.
Brown beers matter. Well, but that's the thing, though. We had lagers on last week, and I tried their IPA, and you saw this bitter-ass taste in my mouth, like, what the hell did I just drink? And, you know, I go and I'm starting to drink yours and I'm sipping it and I'm really good because it's not that hit you in the face bitterness.
Right.
You know, double IPA, that phrase scares me. Just as, you know, Saugatuck when they had ESB and they changed the name of it because ESB scares people. You still, like, I don't know if I can wrap my head around the fact that you still need to at least, obviously you're doing good for yourself. You're making money, you're doing well. But, like, I just always have to think, all right, what's going to sell as well as what I want to make? And maybe even a happy medium between the two.
Well, one thing that I would like to be a part of is why can't I be the first brewer to make the next craze, right?
That's fair.
So what will be the next one? And if just an idea hits you and you go in and make a beer and all of a sudden it takes off, and you're the first one or one of the first five and you sort of, you know, separate yourself from the pack, you know, if that happens, absolutely, we'll ride that wave for as far as it'll take us. But simply making a beer because it's super popular right now, I can't see myself doing it. So
fair.
Yeah,
well, I mean, hit that button.
I thought you were going to just jump. Actually, I kind of had a question because, I mean, obviously with you guys being, you guys basically share a space with X Fermentation, as you brought them up earlier.
Right.
I mean, essentially, it's across the hallway. And what is that? I mean, obviously, every brewery, most breweries don't consider themselves competition with other breweries.
Right.
Because they, you know, it's kind of a... It's kind of a brotherhood.
Good for the goose, good for the gander.
Exactly. Yep. But, I mean, what is it like being, you know, essentially sharing space that is, you know, 20 steps away from another brewery in the same building?
Yeah, it's certainly a unique situation, but it's not one that we mind at all. Pontiac is, you know, it needs all the help it can get to get people to come down there and enjoy the nightlife. So it's happened time and time again where someone will be sitting at our bar, they'll finish up, cash out, and then, you know, 5 minutes later you see them sitting in Experimentation.
And you go stab them, say, so, I'm
talking about them. But then you see them cashing out and they come back, you know, so they're out for the night. And you know, if we were Chinese restaurants, right, you know, no one's going to come to my Chinese restaurant, pay their tab, and then go to the one next door and eat again. But it's beer. You know, no one's out to have one beer and then, you know, be done.
Yeah, that's the best part about the business.
Right. They go back and forth.
Well, I would think having two breweries in the same building would be a selling point. Like, I would want to go there because I know now I can
go to build a restaurant.
Absolutely. I mean, you would think...
You want the two Chinese restaurants next to each other?
No, I want to build a restaurant in between Experimentation.
And I mean,
it's just the hallway. There's nothing else.
I would be a very frequent customer.
A food court.
And I mean,
popcorn and Chinese food.
Talk about the potential for the closest collaboration of all time. Yeah, I mean, is there any plans in the works to possibly do a collaboration with X Fermentation?
Yeah, we've thrown a few ideas around.
Bottle it.
They're really awesome guys, and it's interesting because I've been brewing professionally for a while, and the last time I made a beer at home was, you know, a very long time ago. But these guys were, you know, home brewers, and they got, you know, really deep into it. And they invested some money in equipment, and they got very, very advanced. So, on one hand, we're at opposite ends of the brewing spectrum. But if you flip that around, they know more about certain things with brewing than I do, you know, just because I've been on a professional level for a while and they're just starting out. So it's awesome to talk to them and get their perspective. And then they, you know, they come to me and ask, you know, questions about certain things. So as far as collaborating on a beer, absolutely. We want to do that. We've thrown a few different ideas around. It's just, you know, you got to make it work and find the time and the tank space to right. do it. So
I was looking at to see when we actually had experimentation on it. That was over a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite a while.
Did they come on and do it?
Yeah, they were episode 49.
Well, okay. Oh, wow, okay. Okay.
That might have been that definitely predates you.
I was here.
You were here.
Yeah, because I still have the glass somewhere. I might have broken it.
kind of a funny story. Before we were open, we met them, and we were talking, and they asked me what kind of, you know, what's your style? What kind of a brewer are you? And I said, well, you know, I'm kind of traditional. I'm not doing anything crazy, stupid, and wacky like, you know, strawberry, bacon, rhubarb.
They
all kind of looked at each other, and they said, well, that's what we do. I was kind of embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, I literally just, you know, pissed off the guys that I'm going to be sharing, you know, a building with for a while. But no, it works out great. We have no problems or hesitations at all having another brewery so close. You know, bring another brewery to town, bring two, three more to town. You know, it's all good because, you know, once you have five or six places, people come. You know, they'll all have their favorites.
Right.
They have their regulars that I don't see that often in my bar.
Is it like a Lafayette versus American over there? You know, experimentation versus Fillmore 13.
Probably, you know, certainly not hostile at all, though. You know, it's they come over for lunch. Our food menu is a little bit more involved than theirs is. I have a few more beers on tap. You know, but they definitely satisfy a certain, part of the market where they're, you know, making beers that you're not going to find anywhere else. So.
All right. Well, we're going to take yes, Matt.
Not before I talk about the New England IPA Bracket Challenge. It's coming up. It's starting again tomorrow. It's the Elite Eight of the New England IPAs. They launch tomorrow, Saturday at noon. They're going to go all the way through next Friday at 5 p.m., so make sure you get on to the Better on Draft Facebook page. It's the only place you can vote where they count. Even if your brewery shares it, it doesn't count unless you go to our page, Better on Draft, on the Facebook page. Use the emoji system to tell us which New England IPA you like. Hover over the like button and choose either the haha or the wow emoji. Don't just click one or the other. Don't be one of those silly little stooges that puts it in the comments. Hover over it, click it. Like it. Let's do this. Show us what your favorite New England IPA is. We're going to buy you a pint of it at Brown Iron Brewer House in Washington Township, Michigan, Van Dyke, just north of 26 Mile. And you can find all these great New England IPAs at the Tuna Liquor just south of 59 in Rochester Road on your way home.
You can get the wall of juice that he has over there.
Yes. Nick Nixon's.
We'll be right back. Better on Draft Podcast. And we are back, Better on Draft Podcast, episode number 107. Still with us, Bo from Fillmore 13.
All
right. We've got, well, that's a nice little howler over there. Did you get it back?
No, I actually have two of them. You didn't give me mine back yet.
Do I still have it?
I left it with you last week.
I probably left it here and I didn't take it.
Then it's under the sink.
Oh, well.
Go ahead and have a little sniff of that.
If you need a howler, I'll definitely get
well,
you.
Well, I don't have an issue with howlers. It's the fact that you always leave, like, the last, like, half inch of beer, and then you open them up, and they just smell rancid, and it's so hard to make them not smell rancid.
Wash them out when you're done.
Wash them out and get some star sand.
I put a little bit of dish soap, some hot water, and shake them up.
Do you shake it like a Polaroid picture?
I shake them like a 7-Eleven, and shake them.
Do you shake it off?
I'm going to ice cube shake them off.
Get some star sand, because you start using, you know, dish soap, then some of that stuff, if you don't get all of that out, you try and get that filled with beer.
I do that, and then I say, hey, you know, use your little whatever bar soap that they use, and then...
Well, I guess that's the star sand, pretty much.
Yeah.
So as always, Let's try that one again.
Yeah.
As always with segment three, we have five questions with Matt Bush.
All right.
Take that away from you.
My friends. So, big thing going on right now. Oh, this is not for me.
Yeah, no, it's not for you. We're just passing it around.
As Jordan Knight once said, this is all for you.
Is that Jordan Knight or Jordan McKnight? Because there's two different people.
Jordan Knight, not Jordan McKnight.
Jordan McKnight from New Kids on the Block?
No, that's Jordan Knight from New Kids on the Block.
Oh, is it Jordan? I thought it was Jordan McKnight.
You're drinking that a little too soon. Hold it.
So, NCAA football is winding down. This Saturday is like the precursor to the playoff.
It's huge this Saturday. There's, I think, 11 of the top 20 teams are playing against each other.
Yeah,
12 of the top 20 teams.
So I was looking at, of the top 25 schools, 22 of them have, or actually 23 of them have animals as mascots.
Okay.
Well, I'm considering a human an animal in this thing, like, so it's a Sparty human.
I got
Sparty.
You.
So, of the top 25 schools, only two do not have animal mascots. Your Miami Hurricanes and the Iowa State Cyclones.
Are you kidding me? The mascot of the Miami Hurricanes is Sebastian Ibis.
Yeah, okay. The actual, like, name of it, though, like, the
You're talking about the actual, the mascot
the nickname,
name.
The nickname.
The nickname.
Not the actual
yes,
person.
The Hurricane. That's the difference between the mascot.
The Miami Hurricanes. So, the Hurricane is the moniker of the football team.
Correct.
Okay, so, okay, how about this? Of the top 25 monikers,
there you go.
23 of them are animals.
Okay.
22 of them are mammals. Which college does not have a mammal as its mascot logo slash moniker?
Oh man, that's a tough one.
This is actually an easy one.
What do we have to do? We have to
which college?
Figure out which college.
Which college in the top 25 of football does not have a mammal as its mascot, logo, or moniker? There's only one of them. 22 out of 23 are mammals.
I was going to say, you know a lot more of the teams than I do. I'm trying to think of.
I'm guessing that some knowledge of college.
Yeah,
mascots might help.
Just a little bit.
I have nothing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, of who's in the top. Well, obviously, because, like, the Fighting Irish is a mammal, because that's a man.
Yep, Irish people are still animals. Well, some pieces of human still an animal.
Can I think out loud?
Yes, please do. Yeah, no, this is a collective. Everyone talk amongst what thyself.
Is there some sort of reptile?
Talk amongst yourselves.
Reptile? I'm trying to think of who.
Is there a snake? Like, I instantly thought of the Diamondbacks, but I realized that's
Arizona.
It's a baseball team.
Professional baseball, right?
Yes.
So
yeah.
I'm thinking of
college football.
Home of one of the best 2-1-2 punches to win a World Series.
If there isn't a college mascot named Cobra, should start a university.
There is a team named called the Roadrunners. University of Texas San Antonio, the Roadrunners. That's bird.
That's a mammal, isn't it?
You know who's
That is avian.
An avian.
You know who the coach is of Utsa, right?
Mike Mangino?
Larry Coker.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, of course he would know that from the U.
From the U. He might not be the coach anymore, actually.
Minor cheater.
I really don't know. I think we're going to have to, like,
I mean,
every single team name that goes through my head does not. Wait. The Hawkeyes, Iowa. That's not a mammal. That's a.
That's not an ant. They're not in the top 25, by the way.
Iowa's not?
No.
Not after that.
Not after they beat the shit out of Ohio State.
No, they were like in the 50s.
Are you sure?
I mean.
Per the.
We're conceding, so I'm looking up right now. What's your answer?
Just so I can get it out of my head, Wisconsin, the Badgers are mammals, right?
The Badgers are mammals, yeah.
Okay. I don't know why it stuck in my head.
What if I say Big 12?
He still won the helmet.
Texas Christian University.
TC.
The Horned Frogs.
Actually, a lizard. Neither a frog nor a lizard are a mammal. They're both reptiles. One's a reptile.
I forgot TC.
So, by the way, Iowa ranked number 20.
Okay. Hawkeye is still a person in this case.
Hawkeye is still a person.
Yeah, that's Jeremy Renner.
Why?
There you go. See? So, on things that I like to Google, this week it was beer plus national sovereignty. And ironically, an MLive article came up with Best new breweries of 2016. You guys started in 2017, right?
We did.
So hopefully yes. We'll be on this list. So the best new brewery of 2016, according to MLive, their description reads as such. X Brewing is creating, quote-unquote, world-class examples of traditional Belgian styles, unquote. Although these are head brewer's own words, we couldn't agree more. Each and every beer we sampled was just about perfect, and not all were Belgian. Their flagship, not going to tell you this ale, is delicious, slightly
did
peppery.
Did you just name that?
I did, and very drinkable. Other standouts were this Stellar Just Another IPA, also named that one, that had so many flavors going on that the other writer, Amy, had to taste it again. And this Triple, that was just the right amount of brightness.
This is a brewery that came out this year.
No, so the 2016 MLive Best Brewer is this brewing company.
So it's a Michigan brew,
yes.
Obviously. Right. You said Amy, so that's obviously Amy Sherman of MLive.
Correct.
Can you
give us a region?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Which, by the way, right now I am drinking the Mikeller Beer Geek Vanilla Shake, and this is absolutely phenomenal right
now. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. The maple vanilla shake is, I don't know, I think that's still too mapley.
It is a 3-hour and 51-minute drive away.
Jeez.
Wow.
It's not, I was going to guess Vivant, but
not
it's only like 3 hours, if that, 2.5.
Northwest Michigan.
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're talking Traverse City at that point.
Yeah.
I was going to say Snowbelt, which actually
Snowbelt's only 3 hours away.
That's okay, one more hint, because there's a lot.
I've made that Traverse City? Times.
They're really good.
I had their brown ale, which was a coffee brown, but it was a bitter coffee
They
brown.
Share part of their name with an X-Men.
I'm out.
So, go through your X-Men. Cyclops, Wolverine.
The sexy X-Men.
Storm.
Oh, Stormcloud?
Storm.
Stormcloud.
Never been.
So you guys all have a beer that I pour, or that Rob poured for you?
Yes.
Anybody,
Beer Advocate is a 3.49 out of 5. The ABV is 5.4%. And the Beer Advocate reads as follows. This was served into a generic pint glass on tap at this brewing in this part of Michigan. It glowed a deep bronze coloring but offered no real head or lacing. Clarity was cut only by a chill haze. The aroma gave notes of amber pale and sticky caramel malts, smoked pettiness, moss, and light pseudo-oakiness, licorice, and plastic phenols. That flavoring was heavily malted up front.
What's a phenol?
Yeah.
Continue.
It's what Scientologists believe in.
Ah, okay. All right. Moving on.
The flavoring was heavily malted up front. The bittering amber grit, metallic yeastiness, yet close on its heels. Blending through the back was a finite blend of sweet banana esters, black pepper and clovey spice, coriander, mealy blueberry, white flour and corn kernel, raw barley, medicinals, and sweet honey tea leaves. Man, this guy uses commas a lot.
Wrong kind of medicinals.
Who wrote this review?
Some guy in Beer Advocate. The body was medium and carbonation was medium, but there was a paucity of frothy or creaminess to it. The mouth was left feeling wet and salty, like a dog's nose, I added that to myself, with no real pucker or dryness. The ABV was appropriate, and this one drank easily enough.
How recent is this dude, Cicero?
From I don't know. But clearly, John Pipe Brock wrote this.
Shout out to John Pipe Brock.
So what's the question?
We have to, as a collective, figure out the beer. We have three questions to kind of guess a region, an area.
To figure out what the beer that you're drinking.
Yeah, so he could have... This is obviously a Michigan beer.
It's not a New England... No, it's not that.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that easy.
So, but he might not have necessarily went to the brewery.
Like, I need more. Yeah.
He might have went to...
I got this one here.
Excuse me. He might have went to a beer store, a growler fill area. So it could have been like that place over in Beverly Hills, Michigan Growler Company, I think is the name of it.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Or it was the Tuna Liquor just off to 59.
Tuna Liquor, they got one now too. Yep.
Well, Brian and Brewhouse, where they sell growlers.
Brian Eye Brewhouse.
And Howlers.
So, free question, did you buy this at Brown Eye Brewhouse?
I did not buy this at Brown Eye Brewhouse.
Okay.
That was near on Thursday-ish, actually.
I was going to say, I feel like it's going to be Baffin just because you went to Baffin three times this week.
All right.
I did not go today, though.
We need some tasting notes on this one.
I just gave you whatever tasting notes.
I mean, I other than, you know, the
right
the,
and wrong yeah, tasting notes.
Whatever that dude wrote.
That was an amazing review.
So you like the beer? What?
It's an amazing like review.
Rob, do you like the beer?
I have nothing.
I mean,
the words that were used and what you just read are
spot on.
That's a lot of effort.
Yeah. A lot of commas.
Put into
a beer advocate review.
So, does anybody like the beer?
I've got a malt forward with a bitter back.
Okay.
I've just got the malt forward. I mean, I don't...
You don't take... Well, then again, I'm fucking...
I don't hate the beer. I mean, it's certainly... I mean, if it was put in front of me, I really don't have much of a problem drinking this. But I don't have... That's the thing, is that I don't have a lot of flavor to me. It's just...
It's very inert.
Well, up against the vanilla shake.
Which isn't bad.
All right, so let's get one question down. I'm going to try a geography question.
All right.
Because I feel like based on what you said, you went to a brewery.
Yeah, I did go to a brewery. So actually, I've been to multiple breweries.
Smart ass.
Could have gone far.
So I don't think you went to Wayne. So I think it's going to be between Macomb and Oakland. Did you go to Macomb County for this brewery?
I did not go to Macomb County for this brewery.
Okay.
So what kind of style beer do you think this is, Bob? Like, what kind of styles are in this style of beer, do you think? Or what kind of range of style of beer do you think we're drinking?
Well, I think you could...
Anybody, really, but...
You could narrow it down to, you know, I think it would fit into a few different categories.
Sure.
Depending on what the brewer intended. I'm kind of tasting heather or something... You know, some sort of lavender.
Her name's Angela.
Some sort of sweetness.
So, come on.
Wow. No. And besides, that's a movie out of the 80s. Damn good movie, by the way.
Just there's a certain sweetness here that I don't think is necessarily coming from malt. I don't know. Is there honey?
I don't know.
Okay.
He buys the beer, reads the beer advocate review, and then we have to guess it. That's basically the...
Yeah, I'm not a savant or any sort of... I do have a
beer sommelier.
I do have a Cicerone as a beer server, but...
You're a CBS?
I am a certified beer server, yeah. I don't know if those, like, certifications run out, because I have definitely not kept up my continual education.
Did you have to have that to work at Powers?
I didn't have to, but when they start you, you just... They give it to you, yeah.
Huh. Did you think it was hard?
It's not that hard.
Get the heck out of here. All right.
Did you try it?
I have it.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't that hard.
I thought it was pretty darn hard.
Well, they gave us all the answers to the test.
Yeah, I had no answers, no help. I just studied.
I don't, like, it's weird because I taste bitter. It tastes almost like an IPA or maybe an English mild. It's too dark to be an IPA, though.
So, Rob, what are your thoughts? Would you like some more?
I don't taste IPA at all.
Better for Loco.
Again, I have, like, I'm very apt to tasting the bitterness because I don't like bitterness. Therefore, any fade of bitter is just going to hit me.
So
I mean, I certainly would cut the grass with this one. I have no problems with it. It's
not too bad. What would you say the ABV was?
5.4%.
5.4. All right.
I'm trying to think of any type of question of where to go.
I mean, the color is a golden brown. God, I have no idea. Like, I'm at a loss. I don't think this is...
You carry the team.
I can't. Some days I need some help, folks. We know it's... I can almost guarantee that it's an Oakland County brewery. Because
you are correct.
Okay, that wasn't a
Oakland
question,
County?
Though.
I'll give it to you. I think we're gonna run it.
It's an Oakland County brewery.
I'm pretty sure you're not gonna make this one, so.
I don't think I am either.
All right, so if we're talking Oakland County, then we need to.
We need to get a style, or we're SOL anyways.
I mean, I guess.
I'm sorry to break it to you. It's definitely not bitter. It doesn't linger. It has like notes of, like that guy said, banana and clove, which is really typical of like a hefe, but it's obviously not.
No, it's way too dark to be a hefe.
So I don't know.
I mean, if we try to go geographical again and try and split Oakland County by, I don't know, 12 mile.
What is Oakland thoughts? County? Black Lotus? Is Griffin Claw?
Yep.
Griffin Claw, Royal Oak.
Oh, God.
Roke. River Rouge.
Well, we were saying that Matt looked
Fillmore
very
13 over in Pontiac.
Exactly.
Matt looked very Royal Oak today.
Not open in 2016, though, sadly.
Okay.
Wasn't that part of the deal with this beer?
I don't know.
Or no, that was the last one.
That had
to be open in 2016.
That was a storm cloud.
This
does not involve the storm cloud.
Hmm. Do you have a flavor, like a style? Like you mentioned a few styles.
Yeah, no, it's certainly not an IPA, or not one that I would.
I think it's like an English mild or something.
I'd like to tell you, I'm on their website. They charge $2.50 for a Coke.
Are you offended?
Damn, kind of. This is North Oakland County.
That's pretty standard.
$2.50 for a Coke.
Royal Oak.
A 10-cent pour for $2.50.
You probably don't order pop anymore, but that's like the going rate.
But if you were to bring a child, I don't know. That just bothers me.
No, I agree. I mean, you'd probably be more bothered when you see it for $2.75 other places.
Well, yeah, that.
I would just go to McDonald's and get mine for $1.
I was gonna say if it's $2.50, it's gotta be like Griffin Claw, like Birmingham Royal Oak. It's gotta be one of those.
Griffin Claw?
Questions, please. Questions, please.
Mm-hmm. I'm just not familiar enough with beer. Well, I don't know why I'm on this show.
I don't think I've never had this beer before.
I would call this. It could be an ESB. It could be an English mild. It's certainly not an IPA. It's not bitter at all.
Who makes an English mild or an ESB in Oakland County?
He's not wrong.
Oh. Well, shit.
Axel?
Oh,
that's all I got for you.
Axel's Oakland too.
I mean, because I mean, well, should we do that again? Because I mean, he got us on Axel, 3-4 weeks ago?
I did.
He did.
About 4 weeks ago, yeah.
Damn. That's, I mean, if we cut 12 mile, that leaves a lot north.
It does.
But I mean, there's so much south of 12 mile too.
Wait a minute. What does Urban Rest have?
IPAs and kombucha.
No,
I don't think Urban Rest.
I don't think Zach's made this beer.
Okay. I don't think once Axel came out, I know Urban Rest is right there. So that's why I just thought I'd throw that one out there.
Or an English mild. It tastes it. Like I feel it's an ESB, but I have no, like, I, the only ESB that I know is Saugatuck. And Saugatuck ain't in Oakland. So
I feel like Axel had one when I was there.
Alright, here we go. I got it. Cause I think we can get Axel if we ask this question. Is this now
Okay, continue.
Now we're gonna say, is there tap room east or west of Woodward?
East.
So it's not Axel.
All right.
I had to be specific because their production facility is east of Woodward.
East of...
So we have one more question, though.
We do.
We know it's an ESB. We know it's in Oakland County, east of Woodward.
I don't know what that means. Can you give me some, like, landmarks? I'm not good with
that. You know, Woodward is, like, to the right of it.
It's towards the water from Woodward.
On the side of Trader Joe's.
So on our side, right?
Yes, on our side.
On our side.
We are east of Woodward at the moment.
So then that would be Griffin Claw, Royal Oak...
What about that Jolly Pumpkin? Because they sell...
This ain't a Jolly Pumpkin.
I know, but they sell North Peak there, don't they?
Yeah, but we said the tap room. Does North Peak have an ESP? And I don't think North Peak's tap room would be in the phrasing of the question.
Yeah, so I was just
we're east
road.
Of Woodward.
I don't think Matt would also think of that either, so...
East of Woodward, south of 12 Mile.
I don't know if we didn't ask.
We can be. Yeah, we can be.
Okay, we are east of Woodward, south of 12 miles.
See, I got a freebie.
In Oakland County.
So we're literally Royal Oak, Ferndale, Hazel Park. And Warren.
Clawson-ish? No, Warren's Oakland
County. No, Clawson's 14 mile.
Okay, so yeah, that's where you're at.
Sellerman's?
No, okay. No, Sellerman's doesn't have it. They literally have their Thrasher and their Boogeyman.
Okay. I say I've never had their beer, so I wasn't sure what they had.
All right. So let's just.
I haven't been to Bastogne in a minute.
Oh my God! Yeah, Bastogne still makes. They don't have. Do they have a tasting room still?
No, that's the Jolly Pumpkin.
No, Bastogne moved to where the Monk Tap Room was. Jolly Pumpkin doesn't brew beer anymore. It doesn't brew beer in Royal Oak. They just have a tap room there.
Yeah, but I'm pretty.
Jolly Pumpkin's tap room.
That's right on Main Street.
Is the old Bastogne.
Yes, yeah, just Bastogne right on Main Street.
Moved to the back of the building where the Monk tap room was.
So this brewery could be right down the street.
It could be.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. So
I'm gonna guess. I don't know either.
Have we had this brewery on this show?
Not during my tenure.
So it's either literally Royal Oak Brewing or Lily's.
I would guess Lily's.
Lily's?
That's what I would
so
guess.
So we would say Lily's ESB or Lily's English Mild?
Do they have a mild?
I have no idea.
I think it's a mild.
So our answer is Lily's English Mild.
This is the Brewhouse ESB at Royal Oak Brewery.
God damn it.
Oh my God.
We guessed wrong on both.
Timmy's going to be very mad at me.
Not bad beer at all.
And Jeremy.
The service, I went there, I had dinner there. Food has lost it.
And really?
I used to have a lot better memories when they were still part of the Rochester Brewery family.
Sure, yeah.
I went back then. I had a birthday party there. This was the night of the decision.
Oh.
That's how long ago this was.
Damn.
We drank them out of draft beer.
I remember, yes.
And I have never been back since.
Damn.
Going out in style.
So, I mean, they wouldn't take reservations, and I brought 60 people.
60?
Yeah, it was kind of a big deal. Yeah, I am popular, I would say.
So, question number four, get to know your guest, our host and guest. Christmas and holiday beers are beginning to hit the shelves.
It's Christmas time.
Is there a Christmas or holiday beer that you always reach for, or a flavor of winter warmer that you always want to try?
Shiner.
For me, it's always Shiner Cheer.
Shiner.
I like the Stone Chocobesa.
I don't know. Did you say, is that English?
No, it's Mexican.
It's with an X.
Spanish.
It's Mexican. I'll bring one next week. We'll get the holiday cheer happening.
Chocobesa is pretty damn good beer, too.
Chocobesa unleashed a bunch of hate on their Facebook page because they're like, this is America. We don't speak Spanish here. And I about near died when I saw those
posts. Have you
posts.
Walked into a Home Depot?
Well, also where sucks. Stone is, there is a large Mexican contingency. Bell's Winter White.
Well, do you guys have any plans for winter warmers or fall winter seasonal beers?
What's your go-to, too? Don't forget that one.
The go-to, I'll get to after. But first, what we wanted to do was get some darker beers on tap and higher alcohol beers on tap. So I do have some thoughts about making a Christmas beer, but there's a few different directions you can go, so I'm still not 100%. Sure what I'm gonna do now. As far as a go-to beer, I recall I was brewing for Atwater, and they made an awesome Christmas beer called Lebkuchen. Mm-hmm. And it's a type of cookie that's available in Germany around Christmas time, real almondy, a little bit of spice, and I love that sort of flavor, you know. I don't want to steal from Atwater. But if I had to drink a Christmas beer, it would be almonds, cinnamon, allspice, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah.
So,
all right. I guess last question five, because I ran out of thought. Today's Veterans Day, so I just want to shout out my dad. Question five, he was a veteran. My grandfathers were both veterans. My best friend Michael's dad was a veteran. So anybody else want to take a quick shout out? Rob, Ken, Angela, Bo.
How about the Veteran Beer Co.?
Veteran Beer Company.
Veteran-owned, veteran-operated. All employees are veterans.
There you go.
You can get their beer on the shelves here in Michigan. Definitely, you want a way to support the troops and drink good beer, definitely drink their beer.
Definitely drink their beer. Boombaye. I think, no, the, what is the? The Hoorah. No, Boombaye, that's a Howard Stern thing.
That's Muhammad Ali thing.
So, Bo, back to... Brain fart. Yeah, Fillmore 13 before we wrap up.
Sorry, it's not on it well.
It's not on a shirt that from here. So, where again is Fillmore 13?
We are in Pontiac, Michigan, 7 North Saginaw, right downtown.
What's the easiest way to get there from Royal Oak?
Royal Oak, probably straight up Woodward, or 75 North to 59. Yeah. I come from Redford, so I go straight up Telegraph all the way.
Right from my mom's house. She's over there.
But
what's the best thing that's pouring on your taps right now? What do you think the best thing?
Right. personally, sort of my go-to beer that I like to drink more often than I need to is Hoppy Nooner. It's the Mosaic IPA that we make. But I am especially proud of the double IPA that we had here tonight. So,
and do you have anything like in the tanks that you haven't put on tap yet, or anything that you have in your mind that you're wanting to make in the next in the near future?
Yeah, we've
coming got, to the stage.
You know, we've got the bourbon barrel aged imperial stouts and the double chocolate milk stout, both in a bourbon barrel. Those will be coming relatively soon. I don't have an exact date yet, but I've also got an Imperial Red Lager recipe in mind that I'd like to brew, but obviously it's not in the tank yet. I haven't even bought the materials yet for it.
Can I give you one little food for thought?
Absolutely.
You like German beers, right?
I love them.
Lime and ginger Berliner Weiss.
Okay.
Kind of like a Radler style.
Sure, sure.
But you get a little bit of... a little freshness from the lime, a little bit of quenching from the ginger. Maybe you kick the IPA, kick the alcohol up because you get a little extra sugar out of it.
Maybe wait for a warmer weather.
I mean, I'll drink it whenever, but a March release.
Sure.
A little ginger lime beer.
I will give that some thought.
I'll be there with bells on if you want to make it.
We had
I'll come zest your limes.
An unofficial poll of the staff. And I think ginger won as the ingredient that they want to see me brew with next.
Well, the reason I like the Berliner Weiss with that is because the Berliner Weiss, the yeast is going to give you a lemony kind of flavor, bounce out with the lime, and then throw that little ginger in there.
Right.
I think that's going to be the next hotness. So
I'm all about that style right now, so I'm on board. I've been drinking.
We can brew it at the Brown Iron as well.
The Brown Iron.
The Brown Iron. Not any.
The Brown Iron.
That's going to do it for us. Bo, thank you so much for coming. Thank you for staying the whole time. You can find them on Facebook. Check them out over in Pontiac. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, all Instagram, Better on Draft. You
Twitch.
Can find us on Untapped and Twitch with BOD Podcast, BODPODCAST. We appreciate you listening. You can always check out our video over on BOD Podcast on Twitch, as well as YouTube's Better on Draft.
As well as our Better on Draft Facebook page, where you will vote on the New England IPA of your choice to get a free pint at the Brown Iron Brewing
it's
House.
Not free. We're buying it.
Well, for them, for the drinkers.
Yes, but we have legalities, Matthew.
Legalities.
You know these legalities. You worked for power.
Come on, Johnny Law. Come after me. Matt Bush, come get me.
That's going to do it for us. Thank you so much again, Bo, for coming. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.
Peace.